Lord, as we do, we think of you, in essence, giving us life. You breathe into us. And Lord, when you breathe into us, that's what gives us the strength and the power. That's what gives us the hope. Lord, that's what stirs in our hearts. And so we do pray, God, that even today, as we walk through your word, that you would breathe into us. Breathe into us something that will create within us that heart that longs for you. God, may we be people who long for you and your word. We pray all of this to your glory, to your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you do it every time you enter into your automobile. It happens whenever you step out into a crosswalk. Without a doubt, it occurs when you make a decision to marry. It happens when you enter into your workplace, when you walk into your school, and of course, when you take your first step. It even starts in the womb. Seekers, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about really, it's one word, and the one word really defines success. It's a word that gives us what we need in order to make it, a word that's terrifying, but a word that's terrific. You can all go home now. No. Do you know what the word is? Risk. Because you all read the bulletin, and you see it behind me. Risk. Every day we all take a risk of some kind. I mean, you think about it. If you turned your stove on today, you took a risk. If you ate this morning, sipped a cup of coffee, or sipped something, you took a risk. If you helped someone lay sod yesterday, you took a risk. You always take a risk. I said that because I wasn't at our place and people lovingly laid sod at our backyard, and I praise God for those people because I wasn't there. So, and I made sure that my meeting went long enough so that when I got home it was done. So, sorry. The word is risk. You take a risk. Every day. Now, it depends on how we take a risk. Some of us, like, I want you to look at this video, and I'll explain a little bit about risk, because some of us are huge risk takers. Take a look at this video.
As you can see.
Okay. Do you see the kind of risk that was involved there? That was human risk. He made a decision, and he went with it. He had to be among the gorillas. Some of you choose to be here among the gorillas. Anyway, well, you take a risk. I'm going to talk today not about humanly taking a risk, because that's a human risk. Okay, he made a choice. He made a decision. I'm going to talk about taking a risk, but involving God. And there is a big difference. Do you understand? There's a big difference when God is involved when you take a risk. In fact, when God is involved, you are a real risk taker. So to really risk, first of all, you have to recognize God. You have to recognize God. That's when you really risk, because godly taking a risk really involves God. And when you recognize God, you start the element of taking a risk. Throughout scriptures, there are so many passages that demonstrate risk-taking. And, as I was reading through and praying about this, it was really funny because I got to be honest. You know, I mean, I'm always honest, but I got to tell you, Mandy yesterday, she said, do you have a scripture passage that you want me to read tomorrow? And I said, what am I preaching on? I mean, she looked at me, she said, I don't know. I said, I always look at the bulletin and go, oh, that's what I'm preaching on today. You know, because I pray well ahead and God reveals. And so I've been praying through this and talking, you know, looking at where risk is at. And I noticed that risk takers never thought things through in a rational, human way in Scripture. They always trusted God through the event. And I love that. I mean, they always trusted God. There was never room for finger pointing. There was never room for accusation and blame because God was in the picture. And I want to focus on the passage, and I love this passage. And Mandy read the first portion for you that of the scripture, and it's actually up there, 9:1-12. She read that. Our story starts with really finger pointing. You know, have you ever done that? How many here have ever done that? Come on, I know some of you. No, you know, yeah. Sorry, that really hurt. You know. Believe me, I do it too. But finger pointing, that's where it begins. Jesus and the disciples, they're walking along. They notice a man who's been blind from birth. That means, just for those of you who know, he's always been blind. So he's been blind from birth. And the disciples go like this. Who sinned and caused this man's blindness? It is his fault or is it his parents? Disciples are good at finger pointing. Who is this fault? Who did this? See, disciples are good at that. You getting this? Good. I'm not yet, but I'll get it. The disciples were thinking humanly here. They did not recognize God. Start to this man's following God, finding healing, wholeness for his life, seeking fulfillment as God's creation. And the disciples go, well, this is his fault? Did he sin? It must have been his fault. Maybe it's his parents' fault. Do you think it's his parents' fault, Jesus? Do you think? What do you think? Let's have a little meeting. Let's pull together a committee. We'll discuss this. Sad but true. Oftentimes the circumstances in our life aren't as we'd like them to be. And we would start and assigning blame. Blame. Well, I wouldn't be in this mess if you hadn't. You know, if you had only, then maybe. You know, I wouldn't be missing out if you had. You see? Everybody go like this. Come on. See, now you've all pointed the finger. See? You getting this? You know why we blame? Because we don't want to make ourselves look bad. You know? I got to blame somebody. Got to blame. There's a minor league baseball manager. He was so disgusted with his center fielder's performance during this game. He ordered him to go to the dugout. And so then the baseball manager said, I'm going to take your place. And so he goes out, he's in the center field, okay? So the baseball manager, you get the picture, he's in the center field, the center fielder, he's in the box, okay? He's not allowed to play anymore because he's messing up everything. So here's the manager, the first ball comes, center field, and hit the manager, right in the mouth. Next one, high fly ball. And the baseball manager kind of loses his glare, kind of like me, you know, with these lights. And then, whammo, right on the forehead. You know? Third, hard line drive that he charged with outstretched arms. And unfortunately, it flew between his hands and feet and smacked him right in the eye. So he's furious at this point. He's angry. And he goes back to the dugout. And he grabs that center fielder by the uniform. And he shouts like this, at the top of his lungs. You've got center field so messed up that I can't even do anything with it. You see? You getting this? When you recognize God, when you recognize God, you don't point. You don't put blame on anyone when you recognize God. See, recognizing the need for something different is an important first step. But finger pointing and assigning blame isn't going to help anybody. Don't find fault. Find a remedy. Find a solution. God definitely knows the situation, and God understands what's required and what is needed. Recognize you need God in this situation. When you recognize you need God, you quit blaming everyone else and you start looking at yourself and really put God back into your life again. Well, a real risk taker recognizes God, but a real risk taker also involves God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is where the risk comes in. Involving God. I want you to look at verse 13. Mandy read up to the end of verse 12. Oh, I lost part of my Bible. Oh, well. It's used. Verse 13. It's lighter. Huh. John 9, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Ooh. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees were so overjoyed. Oops, I'm sorry, that's my translation. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" And so they were divided. And finally they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." And the man replied, "He's a prophet. He's a prophet." See, when you involve God, there's a risk. See, Jesus provided the remedy for this fellow, but it didn't come without a risk for him either. I mean, it was the Sabbath. That's the first thing. And the present-day religious establishment had created over 600 laws pertaining to the Sabbath. Now, I know we've added about at least 25 more. Specifically outlining what you couldn't do, and healing on the Sabbath was prohibited. And Jesus decided, "I'm going to risk it." I mean, he understood that this belief about the Sabbath needed to be challenged, and he understood that it was more important to be obedient to the Heavenly Father than to the Pharisees. He understood that healing this man on the Sabbath, that providing this man with the opportunity to find God, to see him, that giving this man the chance to find fulfillment as a creation of God was risky. When you involve God, you're always obedient to God. And there's a risk in that. It's a risk. And some of us, we don't want to take it that next level and just involve God because we know, well, if I involve him, then I have to do what he calls me to do. And did you know that your life would be so much easier and so much better if you involve God and were obedient to him? A certain children's hospital, a boy gained a reputation for wreaking havoc wherever he went. Nurses and the staff, I mean, it was just, "Oh, do we have to care for him?" You know, that kind of thing. One day, a visitor who knew about his terrorizing nature made him a deal. And she said, "Look, if you're good for a week, I will give you $10 when I come back. You will get $10, a beautiful $10 bill." So a week later, she came back, and she stood before his bed, and she said, "You know, I'll tell you what, I'm not even going to ask the nurses if you behaved. You can tell me yourself, do you deserve the $10? After a moment's pause, a small voice from under the sheets said, "How about a dollar?" See, it's not easy to involve God. Because then we have to be obedient to Him. And when we're obedient to Him, that's the best life we can have. And that's the greatest risk you'll ever take, is involving God in your life. Because then you're going to have to ship-shape your life. Because God calls us to things that the world doesn't call us to. But I'll tell you that your life will be blessed more than you can imagine. Christ showed us in healing this blind man that being obedient to God does not come risk-free. There are modern-day Pharisees in your life waiting to suggest their point of view, expecting you to live up to their expectations, wanting you to follow the letter of the law. They sit next to you in the classroom, and you maybe even share a cubicle with them at work. You may even live in the same house with them. You risk their relationship or their disdain when, like Jesus, you choose to be obedient to your Heavenly Father. And you assume risk when, like the blind man, you allow yourself to be healed and changed. That's a risk. But of all the decisions any of us have to make, perhaps the most important is what we choose to become. What are you choosing to become this morning? Are you choosing to be obedient to God, to involve Him? Are you choosing to be healed from whatever it is that you're walking through? Are you choosing to be bitter and hurt? Are you choosing to be paralyzed by maybe your human common sense? Are you choosing to walk with your own agenda and not even listening to God's agenda for your living? What are you choosing? A real risk taker recognizes God and involves God. A real risk taker serves God. Now, I know you're all excited about serving God. But I'll tell you, when you think of serving God, somehow we want to stay safe when it comes to that. The most glorious invitation of risk is serving God. Which, by the way, is also the safest risk you can ever take. Yet we don't tread down that road because we're too afraid to serve God. We're afraid, fear. We psych ourselves out of doing service because we don't want the risk. The moment that you were born, you were a risk taker. You think about it. You know, I can remember when our son Nathan was born. I mean, I don't know, it's not typically me, but I was quite nervous. I mean, as a new parent, you know, and I was nervous about where he's crawling to, you know. I was nervous about him standing by the couch. I was, you know, when Felicia came along, it was like, oh, stand up, you know. But Nathan, firstborn, I mean, you know, because the first, you know, and I remember distinctly that Joan showing me one day, you know, she held Nathan's arms like this. I thought they were going to come out, you know, just like that guy. So I was panicking. I mean, I said, hold him under here. She said, no, I hold him like this. No, hold him under here. No, no, I hold him like this, and watch, he's going to walk. I said, he can't walk. She said, yes, he can. I said, no, he can't. Watch. I said, no, he can't walk. Hun, he cannot walk. She said, yes, he can. And sure enough, Nathan took those steps. It was really kind of cool, but he's more like this. At this moment, my son was a Pentecostal. You know? And so Joan, you know, a couple weeks later, Joan goes to a ladies' meeting or something. I can't even remember what it was. I'm being dad, okay? I'm not babysitting. I don't babysit my child. I'm being dad and being a father. And I thought, this is so cool. You know, I'm going to do this. He's going to walk tonight. So I get, he's, and he's going fast. So I let go. Have you ever done that? He's hands free. I'm sitting back and I'm watching. Down he goes. It was actually fun. So, no, seriously. So back we go. He's kind of he's kind of giggling. He remembers this, by the way. He's got, and there he is. And he's going again. Momentum's up. And down he goes. Bang! Bang! Hits his head on the wall. He's crying. He's, you know, there's blood. I mean, I thought for sure I was going to, I don't know. Do I take him to the hospital? What do I do? I'm phoning Joan. She's in the meeting. She goes, what? His head crashed. Bang! Walking. He walked. She's crying. I thought, oh no, my marriage is over. We're done. You know, she comes home that night. She's still got tears. She's going, I can't believe he walked. He walked and I wasn't here. And I was like, I know. His head was bleeding. I put bandages on. God. His head was wrapped in gauze, by the way. He had a turban on his head. I mean, it was just, you know, he was sleeping at this time. I think I knocked him out. But, you know, it was amazing to see that great first time achievement of walking. Because that distance from 0 to 1 is greater than the distance from 1 to any other number. Did you know that? As soon as that step went and he was by himself, I knew he's going to walk. Not far, but I mean, I knew he was going to walk. My momentum is so great that that's where Jesus was at, and he picks up some mud. We were driving around town the other night and we saw two girls in the mud over there in the rain. Just, so I don't know, they must have been healing one another. Anyway, and here he was taking the mud, and he's, you know, and this is a risk, and he's serving the Lord, and he's doing this because he knows he has to do it. Take that within the church. It's the start that stops most people. It's that first step that prevents us from serving God. And often that comes from our rational thinking. We're way too rational. We measure the possible results, the alternatives. And we always find enough to just scare us out of making any choice at all. There are risks that go with decision making, and risks are too hard for those of us who think too much. See, when you make the statement, I'm going to change, I'm going to be healed, I want to be whole, those around you and sometimes those closest to you become threatened. Did you know that? Look at verse 18. The Jews, John chapter 9, verse 18, the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Oh, we know he's our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he's of age. Ask him. This blind man's parents were threatened by healing of their own son. They acknowledged he was their son. They acknowledged he was blind. They didn't want to know anything about it or be associated with this. They were scared. His healing, his having changed, was rocking the boat and threatening their way of life. See, being healed and changing is a risk. It's not for the faint of heart, because there will be many who will resist your transformation. The blind man's parents, closest to him. Oh, ask him. You don't want anything to do with this. You think about it. He's just gotten his sight back. He's now able to see his parents for the very first time. And they say, well, no, no, we're not having anything to do with him. Wow. His being healed, his having changed, was a threat that they didn't know how to deal with. And often, that is what prevents us from serving God. Our Savior is enthusiastic about serving. He was the initiator of serving. And so it is enthusiastic for us to serve. It makes sense that often those who are not into trusting God with their whole heart, they're not enthusiastic about what God is doing. Well, they'll often attempt to squelch those people who love to serve God. Satan himself loves that most about the church. He can plant thoughts into people's heads that steer them in a direction that pleases him and not the Savior that we love so much. We'd rather play Satan because it's much easier to tolerate. But I tell you, if you want to take a risk, you'll serve God. And if you want to be blessed in your life, just serve God. Remember, when you allow Jesus Christ to become your personal Lord and Savior, when you allow him to bring healing to you, when you allow him to enter into your being, truly change your life, you're taking a huge risk. Because you'll be greeted by those who don't want you to be healed, by those who don't want you to change, whether it's an individual or whether it's a church. Being changed by the touch of the Master is a risk because the enemy will do everything in his power to prevent you from serving God. I love what playwright Neil Simon said. He said, if no one ever took risks, Michelangelo would have painted the Sistine floor. You know what the Sistine Chapel is, right? I can't believe that Michelangelo painted that. But he took a risk to do it. See, as we look to the future that God has laying out in front of us, we're preparing to embark on a journey that will bring about tremendous change because of the Master's touch. I mean, we're searching for the vacant associate position, and that's trying. That's not an easy task to fill, and we need you to pray about that. And we're moving into an alpha program this evening that is going to be family based. I mean, that's huge. We can't do this. That's all new stuff. But we're trusting completely in God. We can't do this without Him. We cannot go alone, and if you've been walking alone without Him, it's time to engage in risky business. Okay, see, we're preparing to engage in risky business, and not because we're foolhardily throwing caution to the wind, but because the movement and leadership of the Holy Spirit has been turned loose in this place, and that's risky. That's risky. Well, a real risk taker recognizes God, involves God, serves God, and knows God. I want to challenge each of you to become a risk taker. Go in directions you do not wish to go. Do some things you do not wish to do. Maybe it's inviting your neighbor to church or to Alpha with you. Possibly it's writing a note of thanks to someone who you know really needs that note. But let me tell you, when you step out and you truly trust God in obedience to Him, be prepared for the unexpected. Because you serve an unpredictable Lord in an unpredictable culture. And God will bless the socks off you. So hold on to them. See, I want you to feel the freedom that comes with the touch of the Master's hand, much as this blind man experienced. But beware of the risks. This man's family didn't know how to deal with it. Pharisees ran him out of town. Following God's risky. But I do know this. God is a God of new beginnings. And He never leaves me with the sense that I've blown everything or that it's too late to try anything new. I'm going to tell you that in order for us to be risk takers, we've got to constantly do some things. And I'll tell you what I do. I spend each morning, I get up and I read some word, from the Bible. I read that. And then I just, but before I do that, I lay in bed. I told you this. I lay in bed. I told Joan, call it the Word, because then if people call, she can say, Devin's in the Word, and so I'm in my bed. And I'm laying there, and I'll say, God, just love me. God, just love me today. Just love me. And that's all I say. And I lay there for one half of an hour. Love me, God. Just love me. And then I get up and I go to the bathroom. And then I read the Word. And then I pray and I say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. So what I say and what I do today would glorify you. I need you. And then you know what I do? I make sure that I meet with trusted Christian friends. Use them as a sounding board. As I consider way out decisions. I trust my friends to be priests for me. I believe one of the ways God comes to me is through them. And then the other thing I do is I ask God to help me think clearly and sensibly. I mean, when I end up doing something stupid, the good news is even if I do make a stupid decision, I know it's not the end of the world for me, because I live by grace. And Jesus Christ never condemns me for wrong moves I make in my Christian walk. Never, ever will he condemn me. He will always love me. He'll always stand behind me. He will always lift me. He will always enjoy me as I continue to risk for him. That's our Lord. I want us to close in this prayer, and it's a prayer offered by Sir Francis Drake, and I want you to pray it along with me today, because I think it really says what I've been talking about this morning. So will you pray this with me? Can you read it? Can everybody read it? Can you see it kind of? Okay. Let's read it together. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life, having fallen in love with life. We have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we could pray that prayer. Lord, it's so hard to pray something because we don't want to be disturbed. We want our life, God, to just go well. We want everything, every circumstance, every event, every person. We just want everything to go our way, God. We don't want to be disturbed. But Lord, we prayed that today, because it is in the disturbance that often we take the risk. Lord, I pray that as your people, that you will always disturb us in a sense. Not disturb us, Lord, with recklessness or abandonment, but that you would disturb us, Lord, to look to you for our future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Through your grace, we receive all of this. And to you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.